You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The skill of an investor is to find price at the end of the day. And in the case of equities, it's the price of a stock. In the case of debt, it's the bond price. Now, the investor then determines whether the broader market has undervalued or overvalued the asset. And based on this, either buys, holds, or sells the underlying asset. But in the age of climate change, are investors able to find the right price? Does climate change throw up unknowns that even the most experienced investor is unable to detect? And even more broadly, what is this sustainable investing wave that we see crashing over us as we see the JSE now launching a sustainability board? It's in fact pivoted its green bond board to announce that it'll be at the end of July launching a fully fledged sustainability segment. Well, Hannah Simons is head of sustainability strategy at Schroders. And Hannah, we tried to chat a couple of weeks ago, but the line wasn't great. So it's a great pleasure to have you back. Welcome to the show. And I think a lot of research shows that most younger investors want to invest more sustainably. But what does that mean in reality?
Well, Michael, thank you very much. And thank you so much for allowing me a second opportunity to speak to you on what I would agree with you is a really very important topic. Sustainable investment, like many other areas of investment, has a dizzying array of jargon. So for some of those younger investors embarking on an investment journey, actually getting to grips with what sustainable investment is can be a little bit tricky. There is that sort of range of sort of investment approaches, if you like, that are all captured by this one term that we use, which is sustainable investing.
Now, there are lots of terms that seem synonymous, as you say, and we call sustainable investing almost like the broad umbrella for it. And we use these terms interchangeably, depending on who you talk to. You can have ESG, which is short for environmental, social, and governance. You can have impact investing, responsible investing. What are the different sustainable investing approaches?
Why don't we get right to the sort of heart of it and try and sort of tackle some of what I think are the sort of most common areas. And you've already highlighted a couple of those, Michael. So for example, ESG, or that environmental, social and governance. This is sort of, if you like, the broadest name that's given to this type of investing. And essentially, when we are integrating environmental, social and governance factors into our investment approach, what it really means is that we're taking some of those key considerations on environment. So, for example, things like climate change, deforestation, how we're managing waste. And that's on the environmental side. On the social side, things like our labour standards. And on governance, things like a company's remuneration policy. So how do they pay senior members of the team? And basically, we take those factors when we're thinking about ESG integration and consider them alongside those more traditional financial factors that analysts would look at when they're thinking about investments. And so to the extent that those sustainability risks represent financial risks, somebody who's doing ESG integration will be taking those into account. So I feel like that's the first step.
Can we pause there?
ESG.
Just pause there for a second, because I think we need to do a bit of myth busting here as well, because what we used to have was this method called negative or exclusionary screening. That sort of used to be the standard, where you wouldn't invest in a so-called problem stock like tobacco or gun companies for the obvious reasons. But I think we've seen this change. I think today many sustainable funds that take a more integrated approach to building a portfolio when it comes to addressing ESG issues would rather look at benchmarking companies in a particular sector against those environmental, social and governance issues to say, okay, which are the best in class and best in breed? Is that how we've seen this evolve?
I think that's a fantastic way of thinking about it, Michael. The screening approach that you identified is sort of The most common way we think about it is that you're basically identifying the companies that you really don't want to invest in. And we often talk about them being the sin and stocks, and you identified some of those. So things like alcohol and tobacco. And today, increasingly, investors are looking at, let's identify the market leaders or companies that are at the forefront of changing their behaviors to be more sustainable, and be more sustainable in a couple of ways, both around their business model, so some of those things around how they're looking after their own team of employees, how they act in their community, but also in the way that they're actually interacting with the environment itself. So are they actively trying to behave and promote activities such that they're actually, if you like, solving some of the ESG challenges that we're facing?
A very good and important point to make at that point. So that's ESG investing. What's the next one?
So we slightly started talking about this, which is the next one along is what I call sustainable investing. What that is trying to do is take that sort of integrated approach where you've just simply said, is something a financial risk, and started to focus much more heavily on, let's find the companies that are really at the cutting edge or leading in their sector when it comes to ESG practices. So in both integration and in sustainable, one of the key things that I would also highlight is the power of what we call engagement. And that is essentially talking, having a dialogue with company management to basically encourage the best possible practice for how the firm is run. And this is, again, if we think about what at the heart of sustainable investing we're trying to do, we're trying to encourage companies to be leaders. And through that active dialogue, we can be very clearly signposting what are the developments we're seeing from other companies in their sectors, how is the market evolving, what are the expectations that we see for that leading or best practice.
Now, that's an important distinction for an investor at a retail level who might want to invest into a passive or an index tracker fund that markets itself as a sustainable investing passive fund. How do those funds, if they're so-called passive, how do they make an impact at that level? How do they challenge company boards? Or do we only see this kind of activism at a more active managed level?
Think about being an active owner, and we would encourage and Schroders is an active investment house, so we are actively engaging. And what I would highlight for the sort of more passive approaches is that the voting element is a key part of their active ownership. I think there's the difference, if you like, comes from the fact that when we are engaging with a company, we have that ultimate lever, which is if we are not seeing the degree of change or the action that we have been looking for, we can actually reduce our exposure or in fact sell our entire exposure from that company. But even passive investors, they are very clearly voting and calling to account and management.
Absolutely. Voting with your hard-earned rands or pounds or whatever currency you're investing in. Now, ethical investing sits somewhere in all of this as well. And I think very often people might conflate ethical investing with sustainable investing. What's the difference?
I mentioned earlier what I called the sin stocks. And ethical investing really is sort of identifying, if you like, values or beliefs that you have, and they're often driven by an individual expressing what are the things that they really dislike. And essentially, ethical investing then seeks to screen out those activities from your portfolio. So often in that negative sense of saying we don't want to hold any of those sectors or companies that don't hold the values that we have.
And then you have impact investing, which has recently taken off here in South Africa as a way to address many of the social challenges that we see in the country, be it in education or healthcare. But from an expert perspective, how would you categorize or define impact investing as we talk about sustainable investing broadly?
On that journey, I talked about sort of integration and then sustainable. sustainable, I would say that impact is the next step beyond that, because both through integration and sustainable, you are still focusing on the financial performance of the company. For impact investing, essentially you have that very clear dual objective of both delivering a very positive and measurable benefit to society. And you may not necessarily or always see the same focus or expectation around the returns that you may see or receive from that investment.
And then when an investor approaches a strategy that best suits them, how would you advise that investor to go about filtering or screening which is their preferred strategy?
So I think it is about doing your homework. So there is going to be a little bit of work needed, because in the short time we've had together, we've identified some of the key topics. So I would suggest doing your homework as an individual, being able to express what are the most important things to you. So if it really is that you want to screen out certain activities, what are those values or beliefs that you have to be able to identify the companies or sectors that don't meet that? If you really are focused on sort of evolving and developing and growing activities, then you'll be looking more in that sustainable category.
Lastly, Hannah, when we look at the impact of COVID-19, what sort of impact has that had? Because everyone just seems to be so focused on the here and now, and we see almost a reversion to old behaviors. Here in South Africa, we're seeing people using single-use plastics in the form of gloves more than we've ever seen. And before COVID, there was a big wave away from single-use plastics. So what has the impact of COVID-19 been on the environment and market for ESG investing?
We could probably talk about that for an entire hour, Michael. So I'll give you the 30-second response, which is there are clearly going to be some immediate reactions that we sort of have to deal with the enormity and the scale of the crisis that we're facing. So you've already identified people using plastic gloves in a way to limit their risk to getting COVID. So whilst we will see some of those immediate reactions, in the longer term, I think actually the COVID crisis has really put the spotlight on the need for us to think more sustainably. And as we come through the crisis and really focus on what are the next steps, how do we come back from this, then actually the spotlight will be on things like how we do actually manage and reduce our carbon footprint, how we do return to that focus that we'd had in the last year or so on reducing those single-use plastics. So I think whilst we will see a very short-term need to react and respond, in the longer run, I think we will see a continued focus and growth in sustainable investing.
Yeah, as it was the theme du jour at the World Economic Forum in Davos just before COVID wiped everything else from the headlines and the radar screens in markets. So I tend to agree with you there, Hannah. And we see a lot of the so-called stimulus packages and deals to help rebuild post-COVID linked to sustainable targets and carbon emissions targets and all of that. So I think it'll be a theme that is certainly going to gather pace in the coming quarters and years. Hannah Simons, Head of Sustainability Strategy at Schroders, sharing some insights into the various sustainable investing themes here on Classic Business.